Blog Talk Radio.
Great.
Psychiatrist in private practice since 2003. Dr. Carroll is previously the Director of Inpatient Services at the Bay Pines VA Hospital and the Bay Pines VA Medical Center. Dr. Carroll specializes in the treatment of children ages 6 and older and the treatment of adults, in other words, from the womb to the tomb. She's also an all-time triathlete, so if you're having a problem breaking through that wall to that next level, give her a call at area code 813-689-2466. We can reach her off at her office at 336 East Bloomingdale Avenue in Brandon, Florida. Well, guys, it was a tremendous week, and we'll probably have a call-in visitor who wants to tell you about how he ended up the day today. But I'll let that go. Did you guys have a good week?
Hello.
Absolutely. Great week. How you doing?
Doing good, doing good.
Good, good, good. Zita, how was your week then, sir?
Oh, it's been a great week, wonderful week.
Excellent, excellent. I just want to let you guys know that, as you know, tonight in Atlantic City, Russell Peltz Production has a show going on that Jason Sosa is moving up to a 10-rounder. It's his first 10-rounder. But his last seven fights have been KOs. And he's
wow.
Against Michael Lefty Brooks out of New York. And it's at Atlantic City tonight. There are tickets still available. It's at the Bally's in Atlantic City. On the undercard is Thomas Cornflake LaMotta versus Ashan Gibbs. So for those of you in the tri-state area, if you have still have plenty of time to get down there, it would be a great show. Russell puts on good shows.
Yeah, you know, Russell Peltz does put on great shows. But, you know, one thing I'm sure Zita would speak to this too, but you know, I'm sure you could too, that we could say about Russell Peltz. The guy's a fight fan. He's a genuine fight fan. Sitting near him during the fights, you couldn't tell which fighters were his fighters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or which fighters he had relationships, because he would constantly speak as to what both fighters should be doing. So
mm-hmm.
So you never really knew who he really had a rooting interest in, because he constantly talked about the technique and what they should be doing strategically. So I just appreciated that myself, because that's I think how we on the show like to look at fights and fighters.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. From a business acclimate, you know, we understand Russell Peltz, but you know, I was impressed by his knowledge of the game, the actual, you know, game of boxing. He knew what boxers should be doing what, as you said, and he just was on point with it. You know, I was impressed.
Yeah, you know, he's been in the fight game for over 30 years. And just, Ty, so you'll know, I talked to Z offline. He was very impressed with the knowledge you guys had also. Russell's a tremendous person, does a great job. He's looking he's going to have another fight May 7th up in Wilkes-Barre. So if you guys want to take a ride, I'm sure he told me that I could get passes for you guys to go and do that fight also.
But if you don't mind me asking, what venue do they have in Wilkes-Barre where they put fights?
He hasn't set that up yet. He was going to he's supposed to email me this afternoon. But he likes to have a venue with local fighters, so I'm sure Brian Minto is in that mix somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, that was one of the things that he and Kathy Duva clashed over this last week. He wanted to do more local guys like Amir and Stevie against each other instead of bringing guys in from the out of state to do the fights. Because it gives them a much cleaner, heavier fight attendance, because the people know the guys and definitely come down to the Leocora Center to see them. But he is also going to bring fights back to the new South Philly Arena. It's like he said, it's not the it's the same type of fights that he had down when the Spectrum was there, but now that the Spectrum's gone, the new arena is up, and he's going to be bringing fighters down there. So that's going to be
a fight at the Spectrum.
Report forward to.
The fights at the Spectrum in the 70s were classics.
Mm-hmm.
I remember back in the days when Zito and I were a little younger,
mm-hmm.
and we were able to watch those fights on Prism. It would replay those fights on Prism, and
right.
Wow.
Yeah. And now?
Today is sort of a bit of a holiday for you, isn't it?
Holiday?
Manny Pacquiao fighting tonight?
Yes, sir. This is a holy day. It's not a holiday. It's a holy day.
Oh, a holy day. I do apologize. Sir. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, holy hell.
It might be. It might be.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been watching all the general news stories on them, and then reading, of course, fight news and the pressers that they've had, and some of the verbs coming out of both of their mouths just seem to be just stupid, because you know, like Timothy says, boos are like cheer to me. Manny says it's nice to be back in Vegas. You know, it's all kind of one-sided fun because they're both coming out of the same gym. Then on top of that, they got the Miguel Cotto just went to Vegas to work out in the same gym.
Right, yeah. Manny's been sparring with Miguel a little bit. So.
Yeah.
You know what? They were going to spar, and then I think Freddie Roach nixed that for whatever reason. So.
Yeah, probably afraid they'd hurt each other. He's got too much riding on tonight in the Cotto fight.
The funny thing is there's a lot of experts, you know, view this fight as, in spite of the fact that Bradley got the decision, a lot of experts and writers view this fight as a closer fight than last time. They view these two fighters as more evenly matched than they were last time. They believe Bradley is now definitely more big fight experience, more experience in general, and I think Bradley has come into his own as far as confidence. And I think, more importantly, over this past year, he had a good 2013 with the victories over Marquez and Provinikov. I think he's learned what he is capable of and what he can do in the ring. So I think that's why a lot of people see a closer fight. Also, a lot of people keep predicting or seeing a decline in Pacquiao. So that's another reason why they picked the closer fight.
Hey, guys, we have a new caller on the line. Caller, would you identify yourself, please?
Ty.
Somebody called me?
Would this be like Ty Basso calling?
Yes.
Oh, what have you been doing all day, Mr. Basso?
Playing my regional regional football game.
You did?
Championship, whatever you call it.
Oh, and how did you do?
We beat them 24-6.
Is that right? You must have wonderful coaches.
Yeah.
Everybody out there, this is my grandson Ty. Ty did win the regional championship today. As a matter of fact, he single-handedly shut them down from making some tremendous gains with tackles that he did. And so, Ty, you know, I'm always here bragging about you, so I'll let you talk about the game. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I got like 13 tackles. The best one that I did was the last one. It was the fourth quarter. They had the ball, and I think it was fourth down and a yard and a half away. And when the play started, I was usually getting blocked all the time, so it was a good opportunity because the hole was wide open, so I could run through. And so when I went through it, the ball, person had the ball and he was faster than me, so he was cutting around the edge. I had to dive for him, and I got his feet, and I pulled them both back, and I couldn't get any part of his body, so that's the only part I got. And I'm not good at tackling with, like, when I try to get people's feet, or I'm not really good at it. So this time it was like I thought I didn't get it because he pulled one foot out, but I pulled it back down, and I pulled his feet out from under him. I also picked him up at the same time, his feet up at the same time.
And you were six yards behind the line of scrimmage, so. Let's make sure everybody knows that.
Oh, yeah. It was, like, the first game that we, our teammates played together. The team, like, communicated better, and it helped us a lot.
Yep. Yes, it did. So you won the...
My uncle Bobby and coached. Oh, my grandpa, yeah.
Mhm. Yep.
We all at the same place, yeah.
Yep. That was on our field. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guys, you got any questions for this running back?
Where do you go next?
Tampa.
Yeah, we go to Tampa for the state championship next Saturday.
And I don't want it to be, well, I want it to be an 11 o'clock game, but I don't want it to be an 11 o'clock game. Oh, it's a 1 o'clock game. Yeah, okay. Yeah, but I have to get up early, so I don't want to do it. I don't want to play Tampa.
You're going to be meaner.
Yep. Won't get my coffee.
There you go.
Well, Ty, thank you for calling in. We appreciate your support, and you did a great job, buddy, all season long.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, you can never lose if you don't ha- if you have a tie.
That's right. You can never lose with a tie. Don't ever forget it.
Is that, that's for you, Ty. Will be the other tie.
Uncle Ty on that one.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, guys. I guess for letting me come on.
Congratulations again.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, he did a great job all year long as our middle linebacker and a running back.
You know, he does the name justice. He does.
He said to me as we walked on the field, he looked up. He said, "This is where you and Uncle Bobby coached." I said, "Yes." Wow. He said, "Uncle Bobby's going to help me," and he did. So we did have a great game. But now back to the fights. David Price almost didn't make it out of the ring there over in Denmark.
I didn't see the results. The results have come in. What happened?
He was down on the deck in the third round. But then he got up and took out, Andre.
Yeah, that's how I pronounced it. I think I pronounced his last name. I was waiting for the results to come in on that fight.
Yeah.
David Price, you know, ever since his amateur career, he's been labeled as Chinny. Obviously, the two fights with Tony Thompson did nothing to enhance that reputation, and this will, again, do nothing to enhance that reputation. But what he did do for the first time is he got up off the deck. So, good for him. Kudos to him. Hello?
Yeah, David Price, yeah, he is chinny. He's very chinny. He's been convicted of that and proven, and his chin is serving time at the moment. So,
wow.
I mean, that's just as simple as that. With that said, he's a big guy who has boxing skills.
Right, right.
So, so he's going to give anybody trouble, but apparently he's a guy that you have to get to. Get to him the right way, and it might not be easy, but, Tony figured it out. Tony figured it out twice.
Do you think Vladimir at one time was looked at the same way, and do you credit Emmanuel Stewart for training him in a manner to where his chin barely gets touched, where he can fully take advantage of the size advantages?
I credit Emmanuel Stewart with Vladimir's whole transformation. And I mean transformation as far as Vladimir, he wasn't as reliant on his distance as much. He would try to get a little more power in at times, and it cost him. To where now he boxes scary. Emmanuel, his teaching has him boxing scary, and to be honest, that's good for him. That's
right.
That works for him because he's not getting his chin touched. And I'm going to say a lot of detriment is to the referees who don't penalize him for holding a lot. I think he should get penalized a lot more. But at the same time, he does what works for him, and you can't knock the man for that.
And,
you have to beat him.
I think it's funny because I completely concur. I think he does box scary, but he boxes relaxed behind his offense. He boxes very nervous when you're attacking him, but he's learned to be relaxed behind his distance. Is that something David Price can be taught? Because one thing David Price doesn't do is box scary. Can he be taught to box less, let me say, more cautiously, more behind distance? Or do you think, you know, the Emmanuel Stewards are gone, of the world are gone, and it may be a little too late for a David Price?
Hey, guys, well, I'm joined by Dr. Chris.
Oh, wow, there he is.
Hey,
how you doing, guys?
Dr. Chris.
I'm enjoying
nice to hear from you.
Day. Yeah, it's 70 degrees in Pennsylvania. It finally broke the barrier. It's really nice today. I worked outside. Anyway, how you guys been, all right?
Well, good. Well, very well.
All right, good to hear.
Did you get a chance to catch that Stevie Cunningham, Amir Mansour fight on TV?
Yeah, I saw it.
What did you think about it? I was really waiting to get a breakdown. I really wish you were ringside with us. It would have been interesting to hear you.
You guys were ringside?
Well,
yes,
we were sitting in press row.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Remember, you were supposed to be there.
Yeah, we were wishing we could be with you.
Yeah, you were supposed to be sitting right next to us. They had a sign with your name on and everything. I said, Dr. Chris Panarello, he should be right here. I don't see the guy.
Yeah, I'm in your seat next to Tom.
I wish I knew. I don't know. Frank kept the secret from me.
No, I asked you to take it himself. He didn't want to go up.
You know.
What did you think of the fight?
It was a great fight. I thought, you know, I mean, what more could you say? The guy, you know, just thinking back, I didn't expect him to win. You know? Did you?
It was a good fight. It was a good fight. I think Stevie put on a good performance. He put on a tough performance. He boxed well. He boxed well, and I think Amir put on a tough performance. He tried to go in there and kill Stevie. To be honest, every single punch he tried to kill him. I think that cost him. He could have set his shots up a lot better, but at the same time, I mean, that's what he went in there for, and he almost did it. In the fifth, he almost did it. But Stevie survived, and Ty and I were sitting ringside, and we were saying, because at the end of the round, that's when they're talking about Steve Smoker had a little bit of a long count for Stevie when he was down. And I looked at it and everything, and I looked at it with one of my friends on the stopwatch, and it showed a long count, but it's all about when Smoker starts his count. And he was telling Amir to get back at times. So, but the thing is, that was at the end of the round. And at the beginning of the next round, Ty and I were saying that if Stevie could survive, the early part to the middle of this round, he's going to be fine. And toward the middle of the round, you could see his legs getting more stable. You could see, you know, his head, he's more into the game, not as much on defense or not as much looking for what's coming at him. He could respond and counter a little bit more. And, you know, Stevie, he got his head back together and started boxing well again. And he actually started putting a little bit of punishment on Amir.
I mean, getting away from that fight, I was really impressed by the Russian light heavyweight fight a little while back.
Kovalev.
Oh, man, that guy is tough, isn't he? And when I was thinking, reading the other day in the local papers, Bernard Hopkins wants to solidify the title, and he's going to fight this guy coming up. And then if he fights that big Russian, he's got his hands full, don't you think?
He may have his hands full fighting this other big former Soviet Republic guy, Velvet Shumanev.
Familiar with him. I am with
Shumanev,
the champ.
Shumanev he's had fights where it's looked like he's lost and got decisions against, like, Gabriel Campillo. But the one thing about Shumanev, he's a little crude in his technique, but he's gotten better over time. And, he's just a big East European puncher. That's one thing the guy can do. The guy, he can punch. And, he applies steady pressure. And so, I mean, obviously from a skill standpoint, he's nowhere near Bernard's level. But in a fight, sometimes skill doesn't always matter. It didn't almost matter last week when Amir had Stevie in trouble, though Stevie seemed to be the more skilled fighter. So with that being said, I mean, you got to worry for Bernard a little bit, fighting these big Eastern European punchers and Shumanev and possibly Kovalev.
How long is How long is Bernard going to get away with this?
How
much longer can he keep doing this? And he wants the one guy in the world he should stay away from is that light heavyweight that won last week, knocked out that the kid gave him a good fight a couple weeks ago. When was that? A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago.
That guy, he's tough. Nasty
that was another
too.
Kathy Duva show, Butch, that we're talking about. Two Kathy Duva shows we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's nasty.
I've seen Suman fight, the guys fighting Hopkins coming up. I've seen him fight a few times. And we always have to consider Bernard and, you know, going 50 and going. So, I mean, but as long as Bernard has been what he's been, then he, I don't see Suminov really doing anything with him. After that, that's going to be a problem because you're looking at Adonis Stevens. You're looking at Kovalev. So those two guys, I don't know if Bernard's ready for that.
But you know what?
I don't.
At this point in time in Bernard's career, he's literally playing with house money in regards to his legacy because no matter who he fights, you can't pick against him. You can only pick for Father Time. That's it. Because you say, you know what, no matter who Bernard fights really right now, out of those three guys, Bernard a few years ago beats all three. Seriously. Let's just be honest. He beats all three a few years ago. Because all three guys are, you know, they have their flaws to where Bernard is the type of guy perfect to exploit them. So now when we bet against Bernard, we're not betting so much against Bernard as we're betting more so putting money in Father's Time side of the hat. You know, that we don't know if he can do this at this level. And, you know, he surprises us a lot of times. So I personally could see him losing to Shumarev on April 21st. I could see that, you know, in a couple of weeks. I could see him losing, not April 21st, but a couple of weeks. I could see him losing that fight very easily just because the kid's a big, strong, young puncher. Will that happen? I doubt it, but you just never know.
Hey, guys.
He amazes me. I mean, the guy's amazing. I mean, I wrote him off years ago, and he made me, you know, I ate crow, man. I'll tell you, I wrote him off. And
I had a
crow dinner about five times, you know.
Hey, guys, we're joined by a fellow that you had a chance to see 2 weeks ago up in Philly, Mr. Edner Cherry. Edner, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself, Frank?
Doing great, doing great. We're on with, we got Ty, Zito, and Dr. Chris Panarello is on with us tonight. And Ty and Zito were at ringside when you were just knocking them dead up there. Did a great job.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
I just want to let you know.
How did you feel about your performance?
You know what? I would say, you know, being off for 13 months, you know what I'm saying? I did it pretty good, you know what I'm saying? Style make fighters, you know what I'm saying? Robert was a slick, tricky fighter, you know what I'm saying? He wasn't Robert wasn't a pushover, you know what I'm saying? It's like fighting Robert, you have to come in shape, you have to come ready, you have to come with a game plan, and you know, that's what we come with. But I would say my performance was good. And, you know, for being on for 13 months.
Mm-hmm.
Was it good to get those 8 rounds of work in as opposed to just going in and finishing them off? And was it good to shake the rust off and get to work?
Yes, sir. You know what? I was glad in a way. I was looking for the knockout. I was hoping that I got to get him out early. But, you know what I'm saying? I had him hurt, but I let him off the hook. But I'm so happy that we went the 8th round because now I can look at the tape and see what I have to work on, see what we have to do for the next fight, where the next fight would be better. Because if it was the first round knockout, I wouldn't really know what to work on. But now I'm so glad that we can go over the tape and see the mistakes that we did and what we did to do better. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, Edna, I know you're a guy who's extremely comfortable at your weight, 130. Are you anticipating doing anything different, or are you just going to keep it steady at that weight?
You know what? I will keep steady at that weight because I think I'll be the stronger, the bigger guy at that weight. I feel so comfortable, but you know, for this last fight, what I just had, I'm saying Robert didn't can't make one. Well, we didn't want to fight at a catchweight. We wanted to come in at 132, but Robert didn't can't make 132. So they made the weight at 134. So give or take. So you know, and but I feel
In this fight, you were fighting a bigger guy, actually.
So. Yes, sir. So I don't know that night how much he had weighed, but yeah. We wanted to fight at 132 because, you know what I'm saying, it wasn't a title fight. I said, well, if it's not a title fight, I will just fight at 132, but he can't make it. So I said, they want to come in at 134. I said, okay, well, you know.
And then how did you feel working with – I'm sorry. Go ahead, Blake.
That's okay. Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, and how did you feel working with Dan Birmingham in corner and ring? And how do you feel it adapted what you guys did in training to the ring that to bring somewhat of a different Edna Cherry to the ring? How do you feel that happened?
Man, you know, it was it's great to working with Dan Birmingham for the first time, and I just started with Dan working out with Dan in month of December, and everything is coming together. Even in the corner, you know what I'm saying? Coming back to the corner, the direction that he's giving me. And, we try to keep the game plan. And, he was great. Everything worked perfect. And, we just getting ready, for the big fight with Dan. When the big fight comes, then when we come back to the corner and when we're working together, then we want to adapt to everything, you know what I'm saying?
Dan said you're also getting a lot of work from Keith Thurman in the gym as well.
Yeah, definitely, man. With working with Keith, man, that dude is a monster. And but not only working with him, but you know what I'm saying, Keith Thurman takes time out just to talk to me, speak with, you know what I'm saying, to show me some things. You know what I'm saying, even like he would come out of his way. From training, you know what I'm saying, while he's working out, he will take his time to show me things and what to do. But you know what I'm saying, Keith, man, he's great. That's what will make him a world champion and a great fighter to be around, because he's a fighter that loves to help people. Then you have other fighters that, because they up there, then you know what I'm saying, they just can't take a couple minutes of their time just to talk to you or just to show you some things. But Keith, he's willing to do it. He's willing to take that time to talk, to show you the skills that he have. You know what I'm saying? He wants you to have the same skill that Dan showed him or whoever showed him. He also wants you to have it.
And I think a lot of that is a testament to Dan Birmingham, just because from seeing Keith early in his career to now, he's improved by leaps and bounds.
Right.
Oh, yeah, so, definitely, I mean, man. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Because just like what you say, when you first see Keith, man, you know when Keith coming there, what Keith about to do. You know what I'm saying? He's been going there and knock this dude out. But now, Dan to get a hold of him now, man, Dan did a great job with Keith, man.
Tremendous.
Boxing, moving, and... You know what I'm saying? He's not the person that go in there try to knock your head off, whatever. But he'll go in there and box you. You know what I'm saying? Fight smart. You know, to win the fight, if the knockout come, then he'll just take you.
And one thing I think is Dan worked on his composure. He looks more relaxed, and especially, and I've got to give credit to in that Soto Carras fight when it got hot.
Yeah.
He started using his feet, started using his jab, started landing the power shots from outside, setting things up, and it started getting beautiful. And I was and I was like, yo, this is what I would do with Keith Thurman. This is what should be done with him. And so,
yeah. Now, in the seventh round of your fight there, you with a headbutt, you got a pretty bad cut on your face there, just under your eye. How's that doing?
That cut is getting pretty, you know what I'm saying, healing pretty well. Doughy did a great job on it, you know, closing it up, and, you know, yeah, man, at the seventh round, man, at first I told the referee, I said, ref, he's headbutting. And mm-hmm. I guess the referee didn't say anything, man. Then the seventh round, sure enough, he headbutted me. Then that's the first time I ever get cut in 12 years. Mm-hmm. That's my first cut. Then, man, this man blood was oozing out like crazy, man. Then I was trying to wipe it off, and it was blocking my vision. Then Robert, by you know, Robert seeing blood, then he did try to force the action. So I had to try to keep him off hold, and you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. and try to survive to the seventh round where I could go back to the corner and where the cut man could work on it. Then you know I had to fight with it to the eighth round. But mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Right now it's healing, it's doing great. So you
how
know,
many stitches did you end up getting in there?
You know what? I didn't get no stitches, but it was like a butterfly okay. stitches, and they like kind of closed it up, yeah. put them strips on it, and they put some glue on it. And mm-hmm. you know, then I've been checking the doctor to make sure it's not infected, and you know, even the doctor said that's the best way to go set up stitches, just you know, putting a strip on it, gluing it up, and all that kind of good stuff. So, you know.
So when I talked to Russell on
Wednesday night, he was mentioning that you know, you had been off for a while, and then he finally got you back in the ring, and now he's worried.
Yeah.
You know, he wanted to know. When I talk to you about how long you think you'll be out.
Yeah, he said, well, you know, the team said probably I'll be back in August, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, that's good.
You know, by then, you know what I'm saying, everything should heal up, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. just be careful, just be careful with the cut, and, mm-hmm. you know, that's about it. Then like Tuesday just passed, I got attacked by a pit bull. Then I had to hurt. I'm all banded up right now. I got attacked by a pit bull. Then I had to rush her to the emergency room.
Oh my God.
Yeah, then you know what I'm saying, I just supposed to get stitches, but the doctor said they don't stitch dog's wound because of the bacteria
right.
and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, you know, I'm suffering with a cut over my eye. Then Tuesday, then a pit just attacked me, man. I was fighting for my life Tuesday, man. It was only me.
I'm sure you were.
It was only me and the dog in the backyard fighting, man.
Oh,
I tried
man.
To take him off of me, man. But it, you know what I'm saying? It could have been worse. But I thank God, man, that he, man.
Yeah,
well, I thought I was in a fight Friday. Well, on
sure.
Tuesday, I was in a fight. Tuesday, I was in a pit bull fight.
Well, I'm just glad you was able to get the dog off, brother.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you're lucky because our guys have to. The other day, we had to shoot a pit bull because he was attacking the deputy.
Wow.
Yeah, that's messy.
They're scary, aren't they? When they come after
yes, they
you.
Are.
Boy,
yeah,
oh,
man.
Boy. I had a 125-pound shepherd come after me one time. I broke the world's record, the 100-yard dash. I swear to God, if I was timed, it would have been 4 seconds. My feet didn't hit the ground. I ran through the air. That's how fast I was going. That dog was right on my back. It was dark, too. He surprised me, man. It scared me. He was a monster. I knew the dog. You know, I thought, just keep flying and keep your fingers crossed, boy. I swear to God, I ran so fast you couldn't imagine. If somebody was watching, they would have died laughing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You can really turn it on when a dog comes after you, man. Especially a big one, a mean one.
Yeah, so right now I'm just recovering, taking some pain pills and taking some antibiotic pills. And, you know, but it's doing much more better. You know what I'm saying? The swollen is still there, but you know, but I'll be all right.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, yeah. Hope you're all right.
Hey, Edna, who do you like tonight? Your former foe, Bradley, or Manny Pacquiao?
You know what? If the Pacquiao that I know tonight, if a Pacquiao step on the gas tonight, I think he will knock out Timothy Bradley. I think he will beat Timothy Bradley. But, you know what I'm saying? But for this fight, I think I'm going with Pacquiao. If it's a knockout in that fight, I'm going with Pacquiao. I don't see Bradley knocking out Pacquiao at all.
Because, oh, I don't see that either.
You know, that tonight Bradley would not stand toe to toe with a Pacquiao, because he will do the same thing he did with Marquez, because what that Russian guy did to him, so he knew, so he had to fight like a smart fight with Marquez. So that's what he did. He boxed Marquez, run around, boxed Marquez. Then I think he will try to do the same thing with Pacquiao, box Pacquiao and try to move. And you know, I think if Pacquiao step on the gas, I think he would beat Timothy Bradley. Just like the first fight, I think Pacquiao was playing with him, man. That's what it seems like. You know what I'm saying? Pacquiao wasn't like trying hard enough, and then I think a Pacquiao thing, he was winning the fight, you know what I'm saying? But
he was.
Yeah, Pacquiao in the world.
That's a good way to put it, what you just said. If he steps on the gas, if he's focused and he goes all out, I think he's got a good chance of knocking Bradley out.
Yeah.
I really do.
I don't think so, just because this is Timothy's third time, well, actually fourth time, fighting a guy with power. Pacquiao has power. Provodnikov definitely has power. Marquez has power. And he's going back around to Pacquiao. None of these guys knocked him out. So, I mean, even I think Bradley's tough enough to deal with that. I just think that I don't think he's tough enough to do anything else but deal with that.
Hey, guys, we're joined by Chris Berg. Chris, you want to weigh in on this?
Yeah, I mean, it's how everybody doing first
hey,
of all.
Hey, Chris, it's nice to have you.
Hey, nice to talk to you again, Chris.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Yeah, the topic was Bradley Pacquiao, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, style, Pacquiao, I don't think he has, you know, much to prove, but he still have a lot to prove, you know, to himself, to know that he's going to, you know, win this fight convincingly. Bradley has everything to prove because everybody thought he lost. So if he tries too hard, he can run into something. Bradley, in my opinion, slow the pace down.
Mm-hmm.
Try to shut down Pacquiao and the style, as far as, you know, he's a left and a lot of counter right hands down the pipe as Pacquiao moves in, because he comes in strange angles, but he still comes straight ahead.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, use those tactics to try and not go crazy, like his coach was saying at the weigh-in. Well, if I think he's losing, go at it. That would be kind of, you know, that would be like nonsense, because just fight a slower paced fight and try to pick Pacquiao apart opposed of trying to slug with him and go all out. You got to have a game plan against Pac, because he has a different style. He moves all over the place. He's left-handed, and his hands are fast. And he got some pop on those punches, even though he hasn't had knockouts in a few fights. You know, the fight is really, you know, it's all about the style matchup and who can adjust to what during the fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a difficult fight to really, you know, to pick, especially going into this one, because Bradley's so amped up and he won it so bad. All of us are amped up when we get in the ring. We want it bad, but until that bell rings and that style come across and you get hit with a certain punch, it makes you think twice about how you want to actually go at somebody and try to get victory.
Well, you know, Chris, on the line with us, we have one of my most favorite fighters, Edna Cherian, and my second – most favorite fighter today is your boy. You want to talk about Mike? Hello?
What's that?
I said, do you want to talk about your fighter?
Who is
Mike
that?
Lee.
Mike Lee?
Oh, Mike. Hey, Mike.
No, no, no. I'm saying, did you want to talk about him?
I thought you said Mike was on the line. I'm like, oh,
no, Edner's on the line. Cherry's on the line.
Edner's on the line. How you doing, Edner?
I'm doing pretty good. And Chris Byrd, nice hearing from you. Then it was nice seeing you up in Philly, Chris Byrd.
Yeah, definitely, man. Definitely was nice seeing you, man. You still doing your thing.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, what's up? What Mike has on the tech, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, right now Mike is, he's waiting to see. You know, he was off for a year and a half, so, you know, him getting back in the ring, you know, getting his feet wet, and I could tell the first, you know, three, four rounds, he was a step slow. So, you know, he's got to pick it up the fourth, fifth, sixth round, and then he got the TKO. So I was just happy that he got rounds in after being off so long. And he still got a lot of development, you know, still to go. So I see a lot of upside in Mike, and I think he can get to a place where he can fight for a title one day.
Good.
Can you tell me some technical things that you would work with Mike with?
Biggest thing for me with Mike and any fighter that I'm working with is working on his, knowing what to do in any situation. Technically, Mike, you see him in training, and sparring, he looks great. I mean, sparring with some pretty good guys too. But you know, you got to execute when you get in the ring. And technically, he has everything. But you know, the ring rust, you know, kind of threw everything off. You know, of what we've been really working on. So you know, he finally started catching on, like I said again, and you know, he got bigger.
Hey, Chris, this is Kai. Thanks again for coming on. Let me just ask you a question. One thing about Michael Jordan is he wasn't a great coach because not every ball player that he coached was Michael Jordan. So could you explain what it's like training fighters or a fighter whose style and skill set is somewhat significantly different than what you brought to the table?
Oh.
Excuse me.
I've studied boxing my whole life as far as, you know, especially style. And,
right.
And I know ability, you know, and I'm not going to be similar to mine and my mindset, but I try to pour a little bit of me into every fighter and develop their own style and have their own goal of how they want to approach boxing. So, you know, I look at it now, it's a challenge for me to get a guy to a certain level, which is the highest level of winning titles. So it's a major challenge. So for me, it's an exciting thing. I don't care what kind of talent you have. You know, everybody's blessed with different you know, level of talent. I'm trying to develop for something great. So if you have a small amount of talent, but you have a lot of upside with it, I can work with it. And I'm not trying to make them fight like me and try to have my ability. They have their own ability, and they're going to get there with their own style and try to win titles.
Mike spoke very, very highly of training with you. Obviously, when I was training with Riley Shields before, but he really spoke highly of what you do for his boxing IQ as well as his ability and skill set. Is that something you think has come with your experience in you know, at the highest stage of the game? Do you believe you truly benefited from that, and now you're in a position where you can really become a teacher because you really seem like you're growing into into like a Dan Birmingham, not just a coach, but a teacher. Is that what you look to become?
That's the number one thing, you know, for me. Even when I was boxing, I would bring fire partners in. I'm paying them money every week, and I'm teaching. So
really,
should I? I don't know. It's like, really, should I pay them or should they pay me? You know, I love teaching the sport. I just love that. This is what I know, and I love teaching and picking out all these different styles that, you know, every boxer comes against every fight.
And you're right. I noticed that Jeff Lacy is coming back to the ring. Is he working with Dan Birmingham again?
No, sir. He's not working with Dan Birmingham. I don't even know who he working with. Matter of fact, I seen him like, let me see. It been about 3 weeks ago before my fight. I went to a local pro fight. Jeff Lacy was up there, and I don't think I had mentioned to him if he was having a fight coming up or what, but you know what I'm saying? He looked great.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Body wise, he looked great. But I don't sir. He's not training with Dan anymore, but I don't even know who his trainer is.
Well, you know, Shannon Briggs was fighting last night over at Tampa at the double
Yeah. Matter of fact, you know what? I didn't supposed to go to the fight last night, but man, you know what I'm saying? I'm in pain. And you know, I'm almost like a handicap right now, because you know, like you know what I'm saying, like when my wife can't do anything, you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying, I help her out with my daughter because my daughter's disabled.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I have to pick her up and do everything for her. And
right.
It's like, man, I told my wife, man, I'm sorry, man, I can't help you, and it's hard right now. You know what I'm saying? It's like, with the dog bite.
Sure.
And, yeah, man, I was supposed to go to the fight last night, but I was like, man, so my wife said, if you don't have no one to go with you, just don't go, just stay, and you know,
right.
Then. But how did Shannon Briggs did?
You know what, I didn't get to over there. I was supposed to go up with Aaron Jaco, but Aaron wasn't able to make it last night, so I'm not really sure. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, they did. I just got the head off the wire. He scored a first-round knockout over Matamuzo Smith.
Okay.
Yeah.
One thing Shannon always can do is punch.
Yeah, because it brings him up to 52-6-1 with 46 knockouts.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. Chris, do you have any other fights coming up in the near future?
Well, I'm training Anatoly Dushenko. He's June 20th, DC Network. So I'm excited about that. And, I got some other guys. I've been working a little bit with Andre Durrell, so... You know, hopefully he'll get his contract situated and he'll be ready to go. I mean, he has one talented boxer in boxing now.
Andre Durrell, Chris Bird is a phenomenal guy. And that's a guy who we definitely want to see more of in the ring. And that's a guy whose skill set is somewhat reminiscent to yours. What's this like training Andre, and what's his work ethic like?
Oh, great work ethic, but it's unbelievable. First time I watched him spar, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
He has just so much talent. It's crazy. To where he shouldn't be at, right now, he should be, you know, unified champion or in the mix of unification. But, you know, just... how boxing is, and you go through stuff, and you know, it's his time now to go through something and have a delay and be on the shelf waiting. But I'm telling you, when he come back, it's going to be something impressive to watch.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing about Durrell is you can't question his talent, his skills, but one thing that has been questioned is his, maybe not heart, but his willingness for contact in the sport of boxing.
Can you tell me anything about that?
His willingness to what?
For contact.
Yeah.
So like,
you know, with Andre, I just look at it as, you know, he's been boxing a certain way his whole life, you know, get away with it and being impressive, but, you know, a lot of people say his willingness to, you know, for contact, but I'm telling you here first, you know, where you will see him fight a lot more in the pocket, engaging. He got too much talent not to, to shut down. He could shut down anybody's whole system of boxing, stay in the pocket and do it. And I know he can do it. So, you know, the habit of moving, you know, in and out and dancing a lot, you know, with what we've been working on, those days will be over. And you'll see, you know, impressive. Of course, you know, sometimes he'll get out of pocket and move a little bit, but he just has too much talent, you know, not to stay right there and fight you. He's just too good.
Yeah, he's kind of a rare blend of phenomenal speed and pop. Not just speed and pop, but like a phenomenal speed and pop.
Yeah. Hello?
Hello?
What happened? Did we go out? I don't know, but we're talking about Andre Durrell.
Is Andre going to stay at 168, or are you planning on campaigning him at 175?
Well, he can fight. He can fight. I mean, he can make 68 easy. He can, you know, and he's, you know, really good at 75. So, you know, he can fight it either way. He's that good. And I don't say that about many guys when I first watch him. You know, and you know, as far as skill set go, but it's unbelievable what kind of talent this kid has.
Yeah.
Now, Chris, you don't put the headgear and spar, do you?
Daddy.
Mommy, hold on.
What's that? Do I have to spar?
You better come on, Dad. Hello? Yeah, do you still get in the ring and spar a little bit?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do, definitely. I mean, it's still fun to me. I still... You know, my reflexes are still pretty good, so I can do it a little bit, you know, and give guys, you know, some rounds, because I have to show them sometimes too, you know. And I'm not just, I'm not old man. I can still do it.
So it's still a teaching method.
With that, you echoing.
Well, guys, we're just about out of time here. Chris, I really want to thank you for coming on. It's a pleasure to have you on here. Please give my best regards to Mike. Edna, it's always a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you very much.
Whenever we can, we're going to have you back on, because you're now only three times on behind Danny Batchelder for being our all-time number one guy that we call.
Okay.
I appreciate that. And Chris, I was going to give you a call. I'll give you a call later on, and maybe if it's okay with you, if we get a couple of your fighters on the next couple of weeks, we'd love to talk to them.
Yeah, definitely. All right, thanks a lot.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Okay. Later, guys.
These guys, that's probably one of the best shows we've had.
All right, thank you all very much for having me on.
Thanks,
thank
Kevin.
You.
Thank you very much, Edna.
All right.
Okay. As we as the clock ticks on to our final few minutes here, Ty, you want to start us out?
Is Dr. Crystal on with us?
No, Dr. Chris fell off, but I just tried to call him back.
You know, the only thing I regretted about this show is I didn't hear enough of Dr. Chris. But it was great having Chris Bird and New Cherry. We really thank you guys for coming on with us. You know, it's a pleasure to be on with you guys every week. We've got Bob as our co-pilot. See you all next week.
Okay. See?
Oh, man, this was a wonderful show. I want to thank you guys, Ty and Butch. I definitely want to thank Eric, Cherry Bomb Cherry. I want to thank Chris Bird for his time. These shows are definitely in memory of Bob. Everybody tune in to Pat Gal Bradley tonight. Hopefully, it should be awesome. Butch, anybody want to say any fighting words, please do call. Butch.
Okay, thank you. Thank you both for being on with me every week. Edner, I want to thank you for coming on. It's always a pleasure. Chris, it's always a pleasure. Chris Bird, it's a real pleasure to have everybody on each and every week. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week. In grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women in police and fire services. When you're out there and you see someone in uniform, a simple thank you goes a long, long way to each and every one of our hearts. These programs are also dedicated to those who have lost their lives in line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Endler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogle, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol. Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PD, Highway Patrol. Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department. Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department. MIT Officer Sean Collier. Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office. Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Office. Officer Robert Germain of the Windermere, Florida Sheriff's Office. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine softly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hallow of his hand. Good night.
Shem alek ma yilama, shem ahezah yilama, son ashen evorat fed, hakuig again ma yilama.
Shame on me, my love, 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 sh
Thank you.